I'm here with SpinQuest, where you can play and win from the comfort of your own home with hundreds of slot games and all of the table games you love with real cash prizes. Right now, $30 coin packs are on sale for $10 for new users. It's all at SpinQuest.com. That's SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
It's that time of the week. Time to welcome in our friend Teron Davenport, ESPN NFL Nation Titans reporter, host of Talking with TD on our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. TD, good morning. How you doing?
Hey, good morning. How you guys?
We're awesome, man. Appreciate you taking time to be with us. So, TD, we just heard a clip from you on Jared's show yesterday talking about the Titans and their confidence level in DeAndre Hopkins. Just from his standpoint, as you're kind of listing out, you know, what the Titans bring to the table and the Patriots bring to the table, and who knows, maybe there'll be some other teams that enter the fray at some point. But what advantages do you think the Titans have in their pursuit of DeAndre Hopkins?
Well, I think the first advantage is Mike Vrabel. And if you go back and look at some of the comments that DeAndre Hopkins had in regards to Vrabel when he got the job here with the Titans, that will tell you that there's a solid relationship and there's something there. He really liked the way Mike Vrabel was able to connect to players beyond on the football field. And we know from seeing his interaction and talking to him that that is something that he does really well. So you got that. Then you have the familiarity with the offense, right? And I think that's big. Obviously, there's a familiarity with the what the Patriots are going to do with Bill O'Brien there, but therein lies the problem, in my opinion, with New England is, if you recall, it was a quite, like, it wasn't an ugly divorce. I mean, it was an ugly divorce, you know, when he left the Texans and Bill O'Brien was kind of at the foot of that. So that's an advantage. And then, you know, I just think just when you have a guy like Derrick Henry in the backfield, the way that dictates defenses, I mean, there's going to be a lot of times where, you know, you see it, there's eight in the box and that gives one-on-one coverage on the outside. And hey, man, that's an advantage that, you know, any receiver would love to have.
Yeah, no, that all adds up. I'm obviously fascinated to know like what both of these teams, you know, came up with in terms of a deal. And I still feel like if one outweighs the other significantly, that probably makes a difference. But do you think that, I guess his price tag has come down enough? I mean, it was, you know, when Buffalo gave him a real cheap offer, it was reported that he was looking for something like Odell's deal. Like, I mean, because I assume he has to be a little bit more realistic than that. What do you think that he's down enough to where a signing will happen soon?
That's really the question. I think he is. I mean, I would imagine the visits here and to the Patriots didn't happen without some type of, not agreement, but some type of ballpark. Hey, look, this is where we're looking to be. And I think that in itself lets you know that he has come down because, you know, if that price was something that the Titans or Patriots weren't going to do, they wouldn't have him visit. So I think there is some type of adjustment there.
Teron Davenport with us here on Robbie and Rex Show. So, TD, we were talking about this yesterday on the show, the Malik Willis and Will Levis conversation. We've talked a lot about those two this offseason, but the improvement that we've seen from Malik Willis to this point. Number one, what stands out to you about him and how much better he's gotten? And do you think that at the moment, and I realize it's June, but at the moment he's clearly ahead of Will Levis?
Yeah, I think at the moment he's ahead of him. I think, you know, you look at the last play of OTAs on Wednesday, the throw was anticipation. Right. He saw Mason Kinsey coming open, but before Kinsey made his break, he threw it to the back corner of the end zone, and Kinsey came out of the break, accelerated to the football, caught it, did a little dance, and Willis went over and, you know, congratulated him. And those are the type of plays to me that, you know, you didn't really see last year, those anticipatory throws, excuse me. And I think in addition to that, just the confidence and comfort that he has, I mean, you know, talking to him afterwards, he just said, like, you know, naturally having done all this before, there's a comfort level, you know, when you do it again. And he's 100% right. And you could see it. And there's just a different going through the progressions, getting in and out of the huddle correctly, and not having some of the hiccups that he had with that last year, you know, the operation. Even Chig Okonkwo himself said that he could tell the difference as well in the confidence.
Yeah, it looks like he's improved. And to me, you know, Levis, I thought there were some good things from him this spring, but also, you know, looks like a rookie at times, right? I mean, did anything you saw from Levis surprise you this spring, TD?
No, not at all. I mean, pretty much everything that he's shown is what was advertised, you know. And he's a guy, you know, you see him in person, you're like, wow. This is like a creative player, as Tim Hasselbeck said. You know, that's really what he is when you look at him. And then the way he throws the football is outstanding. It just, he has to make that adjustment and know that everything doesn't have to be lightning bolts. And I think that's what he's learning to do. And then you just look at some of the things that have happened as far as like getting confused. That's what Elijah Molder did to him for his interception. So, you know, it's just a matter of not making the same mistake twice and just being able to get that touch on the passes when need be. And it's still early. I think he's going to have a good showing at some point as well.
TD, we know how big of a year this is for Christian Fulton and his future here with the Titans and the contract situation and all those things. He spoke with the media a couple of days ago. What were kind of your biggest takeaways from that, and what do you make of, I guess, the different approach in his words that he's taken this offseason?
Yeah, I thought it was interesting that he made it clear that he wasn't hurt before and isn't now. So naturally you say, okay, well, why don't you practice? That's what you're thinking. But, you know, he said that he wanted to get the work inside. So that was interesting to me. The work that he's done, I know just from talking to some people from his camp, it was, you know, specifically tailor-made to help him prevent his injuries and, you know, some of the soft tissue stuff. And you look at the hamstring issues, you know, that he's had. So he wanted to work with these guys in Miami who've worked with Dwayne Wade, worked with LeBron James, and various other athletes. And it was just a matter of, hey, look, you know, I've done things the regular way, you know, and kept getting similar results. So I'm going to try to change it up a little bit in hopes of getting a different one. And I don't think you can knock him for that.
So, TD, do you think that if he's able to participate and he plays at the highest level that he can play at, which we know is a high level, do you think that there's still a possibility that he could be long-term with the Titans, or do you think that ship has sailed a little bit, maybe on either side of that, if he's not going to get an extension, you know, before the season starts?
Yeah, I think that's something that you just have to take in a day-by-day type of scenario. You know, I thought it was cool that he said he understood where Vrabel was coming from when he talked about the repeat offenders, right? And he didn't get upset about it. You know, at least that's what he said to us. So that's a good thing, but I don't really know for sure how that has affected him. Is that something that you carry into contract time? I don't know. I don't think it is, but, you know, and I don't think he will, but I there's just so many variables. It's a tough case, and I think it's just something you just got to, it can't be answered right now accurately.
TD, which receiver not named Treylon Burks has caught your eye the most so far this offseason?
Not really any of them, honestly.
And that may be part of the problem with the Titans.
yeah, there hasn't really been. You know, Kyle Phillips has flashed at times, but he's someone that I think you more or less know what you're going to get from him, you know. I watched for Kiaris Jackson, wanted to see stuff from him. Didn't really see much there. Treshawn Harrison has, you know, he made a couple plays, undrafted free agent. Westbrook Akinyi has made a few catches, but there's nothing for me to really be like. Even Chris Moore, he had a big play on Wednesday. He went up and got a ball in double coverage and was able to corral it as he fell to the ground. But there really haven't been any receivers that make me like, oh, wow. Yeah, he's going to have a big year. But it's early.
No love for Racy. My goodness. No love for Racy McMath.
Rex Rudd's upset.
I thought, I kind of like some of the different things they were doing with him, no?
You know, Racy McMath is, you look at his ability and everything, and you definitely want to see stuff. But, you say stand out. Yeah, I haven't seen anything from anybody to say, like, they've stood out.
You know who does stand out to me, TD, is Chris Harris. It's fun. I mean, it's like they got the Kerry Coombs sort of vibe back, but he is fun, entertaining. I'm watching that guy over there, and I'm like, boy, they may not have him long. You know, I mean, you can see him being very attractive as a DC. But what do you think the impact of him will be or has been?
For me, it's watching the communication, and when I say that, it's like, after every single play, somebody is getting coached up. And it doesn't always have to be the player that is out there on the field. I've seen him on the sideline where, you know, Elijah Molden did something, and he turned to Shyam Carter and was like, hey, look, you see how he did this, this, and this. And I'm like, there's no coaching moment that is left taken advantage of, you know, and I think that's really a great thing. Even Scott Booker too, like, I'm not going to shortchange him. He's an outstanding coach as well, working with those safeties and, you know, doing what he does. So I think between those two, like, you have really, really good coaching, and it's happening on literally every play. And just the emphasis on communication, you know, I talked to him a little bit about that before practice on Wednesday, and you know, he says something that stuck out to me. He was like, silence out there, and silence in the secondary is deadly. That's what he said. And it really is true. So the next time, you know, we're at practice, just listen to how much you hear information being relayed between those defensive backs. And you'll see, you know, why that's the case, because it's something that he stresses so, so greatly.
All right, TD, last thing for you here. Which one would you rather do? Go hog hunting with Treylon Burks or riding the plane with Ryan Tannehill?
Yeah, you know, man, I'm kind of sabotaging myself, man. I've been stuck watching the Smithsonian show, Air Disasters.
Oh, gosh.
And, yeah, I don't think that I could do the flight thing right now, just a small plane like that. So I would say probably hog hunting, but I don't eat pork, so – you know, it would just be
a tough spot
for sport.
Just killing for joy.
Yeah. I don't know, man. That's a tough one.
TD, great stuff as always, man. Really appreciate you taking time to be with us. Have a good weekend. We'll talk to you next week.
All right, for sure. Take it easy.
All right, Jerron Davenport, our guest here on Robbie and Rexro. What about you? You going flying with Tannehill, or you going hog hunting?
I mean, I'll wrestle a hog. I'll take on a Razorback with my bare hands before getting into one of those planes with anybody. Now, I'm not just saying Tannehill. Also, like, the fact that show even exists, I don't want to know anything else about it. Don't do it, TD.
615-737-1025. We'll take your thoughts on the Titans. Lots to react to there from TD. We will do that next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, The Game. Welcome back in. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, The Game, presented by TJ Anderson Homes of Benchmark Realty, helping home buyers and sellers in Middle Tennessee for 20 years. We are streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook. Our video streaming brought to you by Superbook, live from our 1025 The Game studio, brought to you by Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical. Thanks to TD for being with us in the last segment. You know, TD's a pretty optimistic guy most of the time.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't have a whole lot to say about other receivers not named Treylon Burks. That's probably not a good sign for the Titans.
Well, you did say stand out.
I did.
So,
I think what I said was, which receiver has caught your eye, not named Treylon Burks?
So you didn't say stand out.
So none of them have caught his eye.
Yeah.
It's not good. It's not good.
It's fine.
I don't think it's necessarily unexpected, though.
Racy McMath, prove everybody wrong this fall.
Maybe so.
But, yeah, it's kind of hammers home the importance of adding to the receiver room, which – it's not like that's a new concept. Been talking about that for a long time. But I think TD hit on a good point there with Hopkins, which is, do you even take a visit anywhere if you don't think they're within at least somewhere in your ballpark?
I mean
if I was Hopkins' new agent, I would say we'll go places where, like, it's even remotely, you know, feasible or to our liking.
You would think.
Yeah.
Now, it's also, yeah, like I said, it's a lot of effort to go through. There's been the thought out there that, oh, Hopkins is just taking a visit with the Titans and Patriots because he wants to drum up a market for himself.
Yeah.
Which I guess maybe it could be. That's a lot of effort if you don't really – like if you have no real desire to go to the Titans or the Patriots, that's a whole lot of effort to go through
yeah.
for a week.
And it could be – I mean, it could be both. I mean, you could be like, okay, they're both – okay, it's possible. Like it's not – like they're at least up to a certain point where fine,
right.
that's worth a visit. Meanwhile, yeah, it might not be a bad thing. Who knows? Maybe someone – sees me out here and says, gotta have DeAndre Hopkins. Yeah, I mean, it is, you know, another thing on Hopkins, you know, what Jared brought up earlier about Chad Graff talking about with Kyler Murray last year and how effective he was.
Yep.
I mean, it's if he's that guy or close to it, then he is not going to be in the Titans Hall of Fame of washed up receivers.
Well, if he's that guy or close to it, he's probably worth $15 million. Like, he's probably worth the money at that point. Now, I don't know that you can give him that in, like, pure hopes. Like, the market dictates what you are, and the market is what the market is. So we'll see what number that ends up being. But, like, if he's that guy, then, yeah, he's probably worth the Odell Beckham contract, would be my guess. I mean, we went through the list the other day of guys that are making, you know, $15, $16, $17 million a year. And, you know, Alan Lazard's
on the
list. It's
kind of pedestrian.
It's a little pedestrian. So, yeah. like, if it's – if that's what he is, then he's worth the money that he's asking for.
Which is his point. But when you're on the other side of the table to try to cut that price down, okay, PED suspension, was that an injury or was that you quitting?
Right.
Et cetera, et cetera. And as we know, just from a couple years ago, at some point a player just falls off the table in this league. It happens. And it, you know,
yeah.
It happens, and it happened that year.
Well, and it's
basically.
Not, yeah, these contracts are not the same because it's by no means the same situation. But, I mean, we talk a lot about the Deshaun Watson contract, right, and, you know, how mad other teams were at the Browns of doing that and fully guaranteeing that deal. I would imagine, like, if you're a team like the Titans or the Patriots or whoever else could be, you know, deep down interested in Hopkins, that you're looking at the Ravens, like, what are we doing? Like, Odell Beckham's, you know, he didn't play at all last year. He's coming off his second torn ACL, and you're giving him that deal? Like, of course Hopkins would want that. I mean, I would feel right. – I mean, look, I would feel better about giving DeAndre Hopkins that money than I do Odell Beckham. That's me. And I can see where if you're a team around the league, you're looking at the Ravens like, geez, you just let your quarterback talking into giving that guy a huge deal, and now Hopkins wants that as the starting point.
And of course – It's perfect because the Ravens were more furious than anyone about the Watson deal. So now they've done it at the receiver position.
They have. Yeah. Again, it's not the same, but it is.
But it's a clear comparison there.
For sure.
It's like, what are you doing?
I mean, am I wrong? Like, am I wrong in saying that I feel better about giving that type of a deal to DeAndre Hopkins than I would Odell Beckham?
No, I'm with you. I mean, you talk about back-to-back ACLs and just, you know, Beckham – I mean, he can be a headache, you know? And so,
it's not like there's a huge difference in age either. Hopkins is 31 and Beckham's 30. So, I mean, they're basically the same age.
Yeah. Now, Beckham was, man, he was balling.
He was.
Before the most recent injury. So, but, again, like Hopkins was last year too. Whenever I think of that, though, I like immediately go back to Julio Jones in 2020, and he looked. That's where, like, the revisionist history on the Julio thing, like he was clearly washed. No. The first year he'd had any kind of games missed, and he was really good when he played for a crap team.
Yeah, I mean, it's
– you just don't know.
You just don't know, and I get, like, the Titans fan out there that is just terrified of something like this because they've seen this happen with Randy Moss, and they've seen this happen with Julio Jones. Like, I get all that stuff. But, like, you know, at some point, first off, it's a different situation. Like, this receiving room badly – needs help. Like, even the Julio Jones thing, at least you had A.J. Brown. Like, you didn't need Julio Jones necessarily.
It was just like, whoa.
It was just like, whoa, this could be a thing that puts them over the top. Like, I don't think DeAndre Hopkins puts them over the top in terms of now they're a Super Bowl contender in the AFC, but they need him. Like, if they're going to make a run, in my opinion, if they're going to make a run, they have to upgrade at receiver. They either have to upgrade at receiver or they have to get some playmaking at that position from somebody that I just don't expect it from right now. One of the two things has to happen. Either somebody has got to, you know, either step outside themselves or grow into the role. Maybe it is Racy McMath, maybe whoever. But somebody's either going to have to play at a level in which me or nobody else really sees coming from them, or they need DeAndre Hopkins.
Okay, so the Titans offense with offensive line is dramatically improved. Derrick Henry is great. Tannehill is sharp.
Yep.
Burks makes a huge jump. Chig makes a huge jump. And they're still lacking at the other receiver.
Yep.
Or offensive line just marginally better. You see a little bit of wear and tear on Derrick Henry. Burks, good but not great. And you add Hopkins. Which offense is better?
It's a great question, man. I mean, because I think the line can be better. I think Burks could be really good. And I also think that if you don't have somebody else, I mean, they're still just going to be so – like Derrick Henry could be good, but they're still just going to be so focused in on him. I don't know. It's a good question. I guess if you lay it out like that, I'd probably go no Hopkins and just take my chances with Treylon Burks taking a huge step. It's probably the way I do it, and the offensive line. But it's close. Like, I still think
– obviously, you want that and you want
you
Hopkins.
You want that and you want Hopkins.
And you'd be good.
Right. Like, in today's league – I think you need two guys at wide receiver.
It's hard to find any teams
unless you got Mahomes.
Right. Yeah, and that's yeah, scheme him and look, it's a dominant tight end too.
Right.
I mean, he's a dominant player at a position catching passes.
It's probably the greatest tight end of all time.
And that does matter. But it's so hard to find teams out there that just have the one, cuz even like the Vikings have had, you know, like Thielen was a good support player. I mean, they've had enough around Jefferson to support him. And right now, the Titans' other support pieces don't rise to that level.
Take your thoughts on the Titans, 615-737-1025. Lots of thoughts to get to from you on the text line. We'll continue to take more of them. 615-737-1025. More on that next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063, the game. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, the game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Friday morning. Taking your thoughts, 615-737-1025. Friend of the show, John Oates.
We need to get Daryl Hall on.
We
so
do.
We can say they're both friends of the show.
I know. We need to work on that.
But John Oates was the cooler of the two, let's be honest.
He's pretty awesome.
That mustache is just dominant, man.
How many times have you seen Hall & Oates in person?
One time, and it was actually, I was talking about earlier about Caroline Rex Road going with me to Bonnaroo. First concert in young Caroline's life was at Bridgestone. Tears for Fears opening. Hall & Oates as the main act.
So what would you rather do? Would you rather see
big time
Hall & Oates for the second time or Foo Fighters for the first?
I mean, I love Hall & Oates and all, but, you know, Foo Fighters
I'm just asking.
You know,
I know you're a big Hall & Oates guy.
I love Hall & Oates, but yeah, I mean, Foo Fighters is long, long overdue.
Let's go back to the text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Andrew says, Odell Beckham had one great catch and turned it into a career. I trust D-Hop way more. I think it's a little bit more than the one catch, but the one catch was very good.
He might have made a play or two other than that.
Yeah, that is a little absurd.
It was a great catch, though.
That was. I mean, that has got to be one of the most over-replayed plays. That was great, so I get it, but it was constant rotation.
I thought Chris Collinsworth was going to fall out of the booth when he made that catch. That's the thing that stands out to me the most about it.
Oh, man. Yeah, he was pretty good other than that. Look, I could still – I mean, if somebody can still be good, I mean, after the way he looked, after the first, when he came back and the way he looked at the Rams a couple years ago, he could still be very good. That could be very interesting, man. Baltimore is about as intriguing as it gets this year, I think.
I got a texter that says, "If you think, I think if you sign D-Hop or somebody who scares defenses, you're legit with a really good defense. If you do nothing, you're slamming the window shut. If we suck this year, it'll be rebuild next year with Tannehill, Henry, and Byard all gone." That's from an unnamed texter. Which I would agree with basically everything you said there.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. Look, I think that you're still competitive and you have a chance. There's so many variables. Just like we were talking about, like, this offense or that offense. I mean, there's tons of variables on both sides of the ball. But it does feel like the window. You're pushing on the window. You're pushing up a little bit if you can add him and if he's him.
Yeah.
Dustin, he is him.
He is him. Dustin from Hopkinsville on the text line says, they really could have taken care of all this by drafting a couple receivers with hand speed, one with size, one with long, lanky arms to catch the deep ball. It's from Dustin on the text line. Still upset that the Titans did not take a receiver until Colton Dowell.
Yeah.
Who Jared believes that they took to
appease Jared. Yeah. Yeah. So Jared would, because, yeah, that makes sense. No, look, we all thought that at the same time, and I do absolutely believe that, you know, that they had a couple guys in mind that they couldn't get because of the move up to get Levis. So, but it didn't work out, and I think it's good that they're obviously serious about this. I mean, when this was in the early stages, I was like, gosh, I guess they're just out on him, you know? So they're in on him, and it's interesting hearing about optimism in both of these camps.
Yep.
We may know soon. We may not know soon. Well, we may know soon that he's not going to sign with anybody yet.
Well, and if that's the case, you know, first off, I wish he'd just go ahead and sign. So DeAndre Hopkins gate has played out enough, I think. But
yeah,
I am really interested to see where he ends up. And at the end of the day, like, is this just strictly coming down to money? Like, because it appears that that's what it is right now. Is it's coming down to money, which I don't begrudge him for. I mean, knock yourself out, man. Go get as much money as you can get. I think that the general thought process heading into all this was, oh well, he's 31 and it's time for him to go win a ring. Like, he'll just sign with the Chiefs or he'll sign with the Bills. And the thing about it is, like, if he signed with the Chiefs and he did it for a cheap amount of money, like, he could be their number one wide receiver, number two wide receiver. I mean, look at their receiving depth chart right now. Not a whole lot there.
It'd be really interesting. It'd be a different kind of guy than they've had. I mean, yeah. To me, it's like any kind of receiver works in that offense with Mahomes. You know, like, he can make anybody look good. But that would be, yeah, it's an interesting thought. But look, DeAndre Hopkins also knows that, like, and especially if he is worried about long-term health, et cetera, you got a PED suspension. What does that mean when it relates to health and everything? That right now, if you don't get paid right now, it goes the other way fast on you in this league.
Chuck on the text line says, I feel the fans are just tired of squeezing by with no chance of making a real run. Ken in Waverly says, everyone's talking about Burks making a big jump. I think Tannehill needs to make the biggest jump. This is from Ken in Waverly on the text line.
Well, So would you say that, like, Tannehill as of 1920, like, you need better than that? I mean,
no.
I don't think you're going to get that. I mean, I think Tannehill is I think he's a pretty consistent player, right? I mean, it's pretty established what he is. He's a good to very good quarterback. No, Junie took exception with me saying very good. Is very good, is that too much? Is that excessive, talking about Ryan Tannehill?
No. I mean, I think for the entirety of his Titans tenure, he has been very good. Now, look, 2 years ago, I would not put very good to him in 21. And look, last year, I realized what the circumstances were. I do. But, I mean, last year he threw for 2,500 yards, 13 touchdowns. Very good. It's hard for me to get to.
Yeah, and yet I still am really close to very good last year, given the awfulness, the very awful that was around him. But I think 19 and 20, he was great.
Yeah.
He was great until the Baltimore playoff game.
That's why I say the whole picture, I think very good is fair.
There you go.
Top 20 in the NFL right now. Top 20 quarterback.
He's better than that, don't you think?
Top 15.
I think he's... I got to go find my rankings. Where did I have him? 16?
Where's Cam Newton rank?
That's a good question.
Yeah, so that's, you know, top half.
I think I had him 16.
So you had him essentially right in the middle, but kind of top half.
So if you got him 16, is that very good?
Well, that's a fair question. I mean, it's relative to how you're ranking with other quarterbacks. It means you're average.
Right.
But I think that we have gotten to the point in this league where, I mean, he's in the neighborhood with Cousins and Goff and those guys. And those guys have all been at times absolutely very good.
I think we've learned this about Ryan Tannehill. And Well, I say that in 2021, you know, if you take a look at it on paper, the person who maybe doesn't follow the Titans would say, well, how can you say that Tannehill's really good when the situation around him is really good, when he had Julio Jones, A.J. Brown, and he threw all those interceptions?
Mm-hmm.
Well, the offensive line was deteriorating that year. Julio Jones barely played for the Titans that year. So, I mean, I get that part of it, but I think we know enough about Ryan Tannehill. I'll put it to you this way. If they fix the offensive line and it's way better than it was, and Treylon Burks does take another step, I have no worries about Ryan Tannehill. He's not good enough to win you a Super Bowl, I don't think, but he'll be very good if you can keep him upright. I think we've learned enough about him to know that if you surround him with adequate weapons, he will play well for you.
Right. So going back to – I agree. So you go back to the original point here on the text line. Like, I don't think there's a jump that he's going to make. I think that if he's upright in the pocket and he's got guys who can win on the outside, then he's going to play well.
Yeah.
I mean, he's going to be a good quarterback for you.
Well,
and it's not easy to have a good starting quarterback in the NFL. You want great, no doubt. You want great. But I still – my question stands. When's the next time the Titans are going to get quarterback play like Tannehill in 19 and 20?
Oh, and by the way, I mean, the jump part of this with Tannehill, he's 34. He's going to be 35 in July. So there's not going to be much of a jump. Like, he just
– yeah.
It is what it is. Which I think is like we just talked about, when you give him adequate weapons around him, I think is good.
So the numbers you mentioned from last year, again, I'm not trying to take all responsibility off his plate, but I think that reflects more the challenges. And so the jump, if his numbers jump, to me, I don't look at that as him. I look at that as, oh, okay.
Well,
he actually has a chance now.
Yeah, well, part of it's staying healthy too, right? Like, I mean, he played in 12 games last year, and how many of those 12 games was he playing on one leg? I mean, there's that part of it too.
Yeah, and that was the thing too for him, as he was always durable and had not been hurt here at all. After that was a big part of why his Miami tenure ended, because it looked like he was starting to become fragile.
Well, that's why the offensive line is so important. I mean, he is 35, so I mean, it's just a fact. When you get older in this league, and mobility has been a big part of his game, and I'm not saying that he just can't run anymore, but it is more difficult to keep your quarterback healthy when they get older. It's important to have good offensive line play. And look, you can always point to the greats, like Brady never got hurt, and he was always healthy. You know, he's Tom Brady. He got rid of the ball quickly. And for the most part, that's pretty good stuff around him. You know, Aaron Rodgers, he gets rid of the ball quickly. He hardly ever gets hurt. I mean, he was hurt last year, played with a broken thumb, but he played through it. And the broken thumb came on a Hail Mary pass he hit somebody's helmet with. So it is what it is. Like, your elite guys can play into their late 30s and 40s, play at a high level, stay healthy. For everybody else, like, it's pretty hard to do that. So you got to have a good offensive line.
So Tannehill could have some good football left in him. You know, next offseason, there's going to be like Cousins out there.
Cousins will be
Tannehill out there. Yeah. Who else?
Jimmy G, is he on a one-year deal?
There's another pretty significant one. It's going to be kind of wild.
Let's see here. I mean, Cousins for sure. And I think Cousins has like a no-tag policy in his contract. Like, they can't franchise tag him, which is interesting. Not that they would, but well, it's interesting.
After he got double tagged by good old Daniel Snyder.
Never again.
Yeah. But hey, it worked out well for you there, Dan.
It did.
Good job.
It did. Hey, they may end up with Caleb Williams.
Is it Jared Goff?
That may be a true.
Well, it's Joe's talking, so it's probably Marcus he's talking about. Marcus scheduled to be a free agent in 2020.
Oh, well, there you go. That's their headliner.
Well, he's starring in a new Netflix film, Quarterback.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to that.
Me too.
By the way, is he anywhere right now? He's Philadelphia.
No?
He's the backup quarterback for the Eagles.
Oh, yeah, right.
There you go.
God.
Marcus is going to get a ring.
They are going to get a ring.
He's going to get a ring.
Good gracious.
Him and AJ.
Marcus, AJ, but no Kern.
Can you imagine like the trick plays you could run with Jalen Hurts and Marcus on the field at the same time?
I mean,
game winning Super Bowl touchdown.
They're going to do some stuff.
I know.
They're going to do some stuff.
615-737-1025. We'll continue the discussion on the Titans. We'll also look ahead to Tennessee and their matchup with LSU coming up on Saturday. That is all next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, The Game.
I do not think that I said that, but let me just say this.
Okay.
If they signed DeAndre Hopkins, I'm taking credit for that. Like, because
sure.
I, you
no,
know,
it makes sense.
We have pushed Mike Vrabel into keeping his promise that you say is not a promise.
Yes.
Into
yeah you're the only person in the world who took it as a promise.
They would get the Titans a wide receiver.
I feel like we really need to zone in on Michelle's laughter there. That was awesome.
That
was Ryan Porth-esque.
That's an all-timer. That Michelle cackle. Was that a cackle?
Yes.
Cackle's
Brandon says yes. Brandon says yes, that was a cackle. And by the way,
it was funny because he said, well, I don't know if I exactly said that, but I will double down on it.
And by the way, I hope everybody appreciates the diabolical DJing of Michelle right there with Out of Touch from our favorite Hall & Oates.
Yes. You knew it.
Very good.
I knew you'd catch that.
Very nice.
Very good.
I like it. You need to more directly throw shade at Jared. More people here need to join me.
I wish Louisville was good so I could really double down on that.
I mean, I enjoy throwing shade at Jared. I don't know that I enjoy it more than being basically Ernie Johnson and getting you fired up and just being a grade one instigator.
Yeah.
Don't worry. You're Charles. You're Charles Rex.
Yeah.
Terrible.
I just want to be the instigator.
Yeah. I'm trying to – yeah, I don't want to be like the unhinged – you know, guy who's losing it. Like Mark called in and was like, you need to get out. I think it's more effective to just sort of laugh at him, isn't it?
It's a change of style.
Yeah.
You're very good at it.
You got to mix it up a little bit.
Sean,
sometimes you can't help yourself.
That is true. Sean on the text line. Tannehill's a good quarterback with a crap team or a very good quarterback with a good team. This is Sean on the text line.
That's probably a good way to put it.
Description.
I think that's a good way to put it. Yeah.
I got another text that says, what do you think the addition of D-Hop would do for Derrick Henry? Do you think it could push him over the edge to make him number one running back this year? It's from an unnamed texter.
Well, I think if it all works together, I mean, the offensive line is still so much of this. It's so much of this.
Yeah.
And there are just so many questions. And the questions are all up and down that line, even with Skoronski, promising rookie, but a rookie. I don't know that he's going to come in and just be a Pro Bowler. So start there. But, yeah, I think if Hopkins balances out your passing game and now you have and Burks is good and Chig is good and there's enough help here and there after that. But I mean, if you get those three things and a solid offensive line and Derrick Henry is as fast, in shape, powerful as he looks right now, then I think he'll have numbers. I think he'll have really good numbers.
Yeah, I mean, it can't do anything but help Derrick Henry. I mean, does it mean that he's going to be a 2,000-yard rusher again? Probably not. I mean, I think those days are probably behind us at this point. But you can't tell me that last year not having really any threat on the outside whatsoever didn't hurt his production. We can talk about the offensive line. We can talk about all that stuff. Part of it is there was nobody that was scared of, you know, backing up beyond 5 yards of the Titans last year because they had nobody that could hurt you. Robert Woods couldn't get open. Treylon Burks was inconsistent, was on the field sometimes, was another time. So if you got Burks taking a step, DeAndre Hopkins coming in, like you can't tell me that that would not help Derrick Henry significantly.
Yeah. No, I mean, it's – and last year, you know what it was. It was – and we haven't, you know, talked a lot about the OC change too,
yep,
which is – it could potentially be a big deal. We'll see. But last year was just so – I mean, it was a 1,500 yards of just absolute scratching it out a lot of times,
yeah,
you know. And that's what you're trying to avoid is just the ability – you know, you just got to make a defense think twice. And last year they really didn't have any problem at all just staying crouched at the line of scrimmage.
Joe, Tennessee taking on LSU tomorrow night at 6 o'clock in the College World Series. The College World Series itself begins tonight. I know Joe will be all over watching Oral Roberts play baseball tonight, so looking forward to that.
Oral Roberts, Florida, right?
I believe it is Oral Roberts, TCU.
Oh, it's TCU.
It's 1 o'clock today, so it won't be tonight. Virginia and Florida tonight.
Virginia, Florida, yes.
Correct, at 6 o'clock. But Tennessee taking on LSU tomorrow. Quickly, your thoughts on Tennessee, their chances in this game against LSU, and your outlook on them heading into the College World Series as they attempt to win a game in Omaha, which is something they were not able to do a couple years ago.
It sounds like Andrew Lindsay is getting the start. I think that makes sense. And he didn't have a great start last weekend in lovely Hattiesburg. And he's been very consistent. He's been a huge find this year for the Vols. Chase Burns struggling, kind of changing his role. You find Lindsay. He's been a revelation. So he's got to be great. That's where it starts. He's got to be great and give you 6-7 really good innings, you hope. Now, granted, if he gives you 4 and you get into the bullpen, and the bullpen can keep the score down. I mean, the Vols arms, that's how they have a hope here. That's what looks like a strength, and I think the depth of their arms looks like a strength against any team you want to compare them to. The lineup is not as good as several of these teams. I mean, Wake Forest and LSU on their side of the bracket, they have a lot more talent that's producing at a more consistent, higher level than the Vols have all year. So you got to be in these games where good pitching beats good hitting. It's still true in baseball, and you've got to be dominant on the mound, starting with those starters. Drew Beam, maybe the best pit game he's ever pitched last time out. And Dolander had the one mistake, which you can't have this week, this week or weekend or whatever. I guess he'll be pitching Monday, whether it's a winners or losers bracket. Can't have that bad inning, that bad mistake. But other than that, Chase Dolander is a top 10 pick, and he has that kind of stuff. So the dream is you out-duel Paul Skenes, and then you get that Wake Forest lineup, and you get Dolander just absolutely dealing filth, and all of a sudden, whoa, you're in the semifinals.
Well, we'll see what happens on that front for Tennessee. They're taking on LSU tomorrow night at 6 o'clock. Later this weekend, you'll have Dave Grohl and Joe Rexroad in a field in Manchester, Tennessee.
Oh, yeah.
Along with a few others. So looking forward to that as well. Some great advice on the text line for you, too, that you have to go through before.
Yeah, no, I appreciate it, including some of the other bands to check out, too. So, as always, we appreciate y'all.
Look forward to Joe Rexroad's Bonnaroo Report coming up next week at some point. Should be fascinating.
Yeah, whenever I get back
whenever
into
return.
To the studio. Whenever see, I get back out of Manchester.
Happens. That's right. That does it for us today here on Robbie and Rexroad. Hope everybody has a wonderful weekend. Chase and Michelle is coming up next. You're listening to 102.5, 106.3, The Game.
What's up, baby? It's Bretzky, and I'm here to tell you that SpinQuest.com is giving out free sweeps coins. All you gotta do is purchase a $10 coin pack, and guess what? They're gonna give you the coins from a $30 coin pack. That lets you play all your favorite games like Blackjack, Wanted, Dead or Wild, and we're talking real cash prizes, baby. SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.